It's Wednesday morning. Schools are closed, but your local government still operates. Port Huron City Manager James Freed, how are the roads out there this morning? Terrible.
Terrible, wet, slick, stay home.
Yeah. All right. But your DPW crews are out there salting.
They're doing a great plowing. Job. Those guys have been, we had our first major snow event just a couple days ago, and they did an amazing job. Got it cleaned out, got the parking lots cleaned out in short order. So, they're up all night, and they take, rotating shifts because they can only go, I think, 12 hours at a time.
Something like that. So
then MDOT makes them take a break, but they're out there laying down the salt pretty heavy.
That's good. You got more trips to Lansing planned last year, especially toward the end of the year. You were meeting with legislators a lot and pretty much got what you wanted as far as the legislation dealing with the pension funds.
Yeah, I got what I wanted. I'm not going back.
What about state of the state? Are you going to go to the state of the state?
Yeah, I'll probably do the state of the state. In fact, I've reached out to the governor's office, and it's our hope to have either the governor or the lieutenant governor come tour Port Huron in short order. We have a lot to be proud of in our industrial park, and so we'd like to show that off to them and make sure that Port Huron's on their radar in this new administration. Speaking of the industrial park, I went down to the International Auto Show, and I got to tour a couple of vehicles that a lot of people don't realize that, that the big fanfare was a new Ford Explorer was announced, and they did a big press event. A lot of people don't realize is that all the leather interior for the new Ford Explorers are made at Iceman Automotive right here in Port Huron Industrial Park. The headliners are made at Schumann. The mirrors are made at ZF. U.S. Ferrothane makes the interiors for the Jeep Cherokee. We have so many Tier 1 suppliers in our industrial park and Tier 2 suppliers like PJ Wallbanks make springs for the seats and whatnot. So it was really time to highlight just the market relevance Port Huron has in the automotive industry, and it's significant.
Yeah, it has been for a long time, and we've been a real leader in auto parts.
And when you land one, you tend to land others because they want to be close to each other because they work a lot together. Mm-hmm. A lot of them use parts, and one will make the leather, one will make the plastic, and one will put the plastic on the leather. I mean, so they're doing a lot of the value-added processes now. We're seeing that.
Let's see what else. So what do you want to hear from the governor when you hear her state and say, what do you want to hear that the governor and the legislature want to do for cities?
I think the governor is got a good ear to what the people want, and that's to fix the roads. They want to see more road funding. They want to see more sustainable road funding. We need predictable and stable road funding. We had a couple $100,000 in additional funding a few years ago, and that's great for a shot in the arm, but we can't do long-term strategic planning on one-off funding levels. We need stable, steady, predictable, bondable road funding ability. And so I think we'll hear from that. I'm pretty pleased with the level of bipartisanship that we've seen out of Lansing. That's a nice tone.
It's been a nice honeymoon so far.
Yeah, I would tell people enjoy it now.
Those things don't tend to last, do they?
I'm not quite confident we'll all be singing Kumbaya by the time the budget comes.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, it's been helpful at a local level. We did get a huge win on the legislature. We're now working on a business plan, a restructuring plan for our pension liability. We'll go out for bonding later on this year. I believe that the council will be adopting notices of intent to Treasury relatively quickly. To get the process rolling. So that's, behind the scenes, there's a lot of paper pushing right now.
Good. What else going on behind the scenes? What about the Art Van property? What's the latest there?
So the DDA will entertain a smaller scale down project. We'll unveil that at the next meeting. There is a video out there of a new market. It's essentially a glorified pavilion with a four-season farmer's market, and that's it, with an additional parking lot around it. Probably about 100, 150 more parking spaces.
Sounds nice. There's a goal setting session coming up, and this isn't where the city manager tells the city council what his goals are. It's kind of vice versa, isn't it?
To contrary belief, I do not make policy, nor do I set the direction of the city. Everything I work on is because the mayor and council told me to work on something. I am not working on anything that I was not directed to do. I have seven bosses, and they have one employee, and my job is to carry out their wishes. And to do so in a good fiduciary manner and also do so in an expedient manner. And so every year, the mayor and council sit down and they review what do they want to see, what is their goals and priorities, and then they give me my marching orders for the next 12 months. And that's been very helpful. We release every year a status update of where those goals are at, what we've done to accomplish those goals, and where we fell short, where we need to get better at. This year, the mayor has been very intentional that she wants public input. The mayor sent out a press release yesterday asking for the public to submit their recommendations and their ideas for what the city should be looking at. We looked at affordable housing last year. We looked at expansion of job creation. We looked at investment in downtown. We looked at the Port Huron Housing Corporation. I mean, if you look at our list of goals, it was pretty significant. customer service training for our employees, interfacing with our technology and water bill and sewer bill paying. All those things were addressed by the mayor and council last year. And the mayor has put up the call for action again. Submit your input because they want to hear it. And the mayor has committed that she will share all the responses that they get with all the council. And they're going to take that into consideration when they sit down in the next couple of weeks to kind of lay out their map for the future.
Well, there was certainly a lot of conversation last fall with a wide field of candidates for mayor and city council. Everybody had ideas. Everybody had goals that they wanted to pursue if elected. And so that stuff is still on the table.
Well, and it's nice because I don't take direction from an individual council member. It has to be the council as a whole tells me. So I'm not working on some person's agenda. I'm working on the council's agenda. So this is good for them to get on the same page. What's nice about coming off of an election year is that, you know, the mayor and council had to campaign, and they had a lot of face time with the residents, and they've got the ear to the people, and they've got the pulse of the people pretty good right now. They know what the tone is, they know what the concerns are, they know what the successes are, they know where the shortcomings are, and they're ready to lead on that. And so I always find these types of goal-setting sessions right after election to be the most effective because they've just gotten off the campaign trail. They know what's on people's mind, and it's good to have that nexus with the people.
Makes sense. There was a proposal last year to have a uniform closing time at city parks, and it was suggested 9 o'clock, and then council said, well, we're not sure about 9 o'clock. Where does that stand right now?
Well, first, you know, for those people who say that the mayor and council just say yes to everything, here's an example of where they killed it. I mean, the public input was, this is a bad idea. We don't like it. The mayor and council said, we don't like it. The citizens don't like it. We've heard from our constituents. It's not good policy. So we took it back.
All right.
And we're working now with some stakeholders to develop what's a better plan. Like, you know, some parks should be closed at dusk. But some parks, what do you do about Knox Field that has lights? You know, they're out there till 10, 11 o'clock playing at softball. So a one-size-fits-all policy doesn't address Knox Field. It doesn't address the tennis courts at Sanborn. It doesn't address the ball fields at 16th Street. And so we have to be a little bit more in depth for how we're going to write this policy. And so the mayor and council will write to send it back and give me marching orders to do a better job. It was not crafted well, and it wasn't ready for prime time. And so we'll come back and we'll try again. But that's what the process is for. Mm-hmm. You know, we do these public hearings. When we do first reading and second readings, that's why we do it. We do a first reading, we put it out there. And by the second reading, we have a good idea if the people want this or not, and the process works. I have faith in the process, and the process worked here.
Is City Council going to take up the issue of e-cigarettes? I saw this the other day that you know, the idea of banning the sale of e-cigarettes to minors in the city of Port Huron.
So yes, the chief and I and this school resource officers are looking at bringing some legislation to treat e-cigarettes like cigarettes, especially within our schools and in our parks, and having to do with minors. Okay. So it'll be treated just like a cigarette.
All right. Very good. What else? You ready for 2019? We're already almost a month into the year.
I tell you what, I got back, you know, that 2 weeks in Christmas and New Year's around there. I mean, it's kind of like,
it's like the Twilight Zone.
Well, nothing, and then you come back to work, and there's so many people who took vacation that you're like, you're just picking up the phone. And at one point, I'm just dialing numbers. And I got some, I don't know, I think I was talking to the IT director just because he was the only one in the building. You know, it's like, hey, you can't really function. The county offices, the schools, everyone's gone. So it was nice to get, you know, I got the desk dusted off and literally I cleaned and polished the desk. And
that's good.
But then the 2 weeks back have just been back-to-back meetings. We have a packed agenda for this year. This refinancing the pension liability, you know, getting legislation passed, that's one thing.
Now you got to do it.
Yeah, actually doing it is significant. There's a lot of legal restrictions. There's compliance issues with financing. We're talking $55, $60 million. And we want to make sure that every, you know, T's crossed and I is dotted.
Well, I mean, you compared it to refinancing your mortgage. Anybody that's done that knows that's a ton of paperwork.
It's terrible,
That by a million.
I just got a new mortgage when I bought my house in, what was that, June. And I mean, I'm just giving off, I'm dropping off encyclopedias. It's just crazy what they wanted.
It is, absolutely.
You know, pull out your eighth grade transcript, you know, and they want that too. So, you know, we're doing all that backroom work right now, trying to work on the now it's budget time. And so the budget folders are going out to the department heads this week, and then we start our capital planning. And, you know, we have to have a budget council, I believe, the third week in April is my charter obligation. And so, you know, we're working on that right now. It's a $90 million enterprise, and so the general fund is $27 million. And so that's a huge planning to do in the next couple months, so we're working on that.
Well, we'll let you get to it. James, thanks for coming in. I always appreciate your time.
Good seeing you.
Port Huron City Manager James Fried with us on WPHM 751 now.